This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number four of VSiN Prime Time, busy night as we've been talking lots of U.S. Open, keeping tabs on what's going on across Major League Baseball. And Doug Kazarian's a happy man, Matt Newmans, as he was on the show last night. WNBA handicapper extraordinaire DK giving out the Sky team total under in the Liberty Sky game. It's gone final 85-66. Two winners for Mr. Kazarian. We talked a little college football earlier on the show. Never bad to talk a little college football. And I know our next guy's chomping at the bit. And I say chomp because he's a Florida Gator who is excited. Our guy Brian Edwards joins us right now, courtesy of our progressive guest line at Vegas B. Edwards. Let's jump right into it with your beloved Florida Gators, Brian. Win total sitting around 7.5 at most shops. What are we expecting from, as Matt Newmans likes to say with, I think, all the kindness in his heart, Sunbelt Billy and the Florida Gators this year?
Well, for the first time during Sunbelt Williams' tenure, I'm actually pretty high on the Gators, not because of Napier, but he has got good talent, and they finally turned the corner in November of last year, and they went 6-1 in DJ Lagway's 7 starts, and the only loss was when he left the game in the second quarter with a 7-point lead and Florida having the ball against Georgia. So Lagway's got great arm talent. Now, you know, he would make some freshman mistakes. He had a couple terrible interceptions in the bowl game against Tulane. But, and he did not throw in the spring, which is kind of a little concerning, but he's back to throwing 3 days a week, and they expect him to be full go. I like Florida over 7.5 wins. And when you look at the college football games of the year, I thought Florida and LSU were undervalued, and Alabama was a team that I thought was overvalued. And for the Gators, a couple of games of the year line that I really like, especially the one at home against Tennessee, where Tennessee has only won at the Swamp twice since 1971, and that was in 2001 and 2003. Florida is 17-3 straight up and 15-5 against the spread against the Vols since 05, and they're only a 2.5-point favorite against Tennessee in November. So I really, that's my favorite one of all the college football games of the year, Florida minus 2.5 to the Vols. But I also like Florida, plus 5.5 at Miami, and to a lesser extent, plus 9.5 against Georgia.
Let me ask you this, Brian, just as from a betting standpoint, Matt, I want to involve you as well. So I looked at DraftKings, Florida over 6.5 is minus 170. And at Circa, Florida over 7.5 is plus 105. So, Brian, I'll start with you. Would you rather lay heavy chalk at $1.70 to get that win, or are you more bullish, and would you rather take 7.5 over at the plus money price?
I would rather take 7.5 at the plus money because I've got them going 9-3. So I would rather do that than risk eating all that chalk.
Brian Edwards, MajorWager.com, BrianEdwardsSports.com with us, talking SEC football and college football in general. Edwards, I bet Arch Manning to win the Heisman at 8-1, and Arch has got a big game against Ohio State right off the bat. But I also like DJ Lagway, the quarterback of Florida, as a Heisman bet. He's in that 25 or 30-1 range. How about Texas at Florida, October 4th? Is that one of your game of the year bets? And did you bet DJ Lagway, the Gators quarterback, in the Heisman market?
I did. Yes, on both of those. I bet Florida plus 7.5 to Texas. And I got Lagway at 16-1. They've got a 5-star freshman, or the 2 5-star freshman receivers coming in, and Vernell Brown, the third, and Dallas Wilson. Dallas Wilson had 3 touchdown catches, not from Lagway, who only handed the ball off a few times in the spring game. But Dallas Wilson is a stud freshman coming in, and they also have Eugene Wilson coming back from an injury, who had an outstanding freshman year, led Florida in receiving yards, and got injured in late September of last year, was out for the year. And Willie Jackson's son, Khalil Jackson, is coming back. He got injured early last year an ACL injury as well. And they got J. Michael Sturdivant from UCLA out of the portal. I would have thought they would have done more work at the receiver position out of the portal, but Napier apparently felt good about the guy that he has and those two five-star freshmen coming in. So, yeah, I like Lagway 16-1 and Gators plus 7.5 to Texas.
All right, at Vegas B. Edwards, where you can follow him, Brian Edwards, talking college football. Edwards, we had somebody who was talking, was it Brad Powers talking about Alabama maybe being undervalued?
He did, yeah. He liked them on our podcast. He liked to take a look at them to win the title, I think 15-16-1. Looked at the win total, and I think Brian is
Oppo.
On the opposite
You're Oppo.
Side.
You're Oppo Brad Powers here. You're actually fading the tide, right?
Yeah, well, I like and respect Brad a lot, but I just do think that Alabama was overvalued in the games of the year line, and also like them under 9.5 on the win total. There's a lot of losable games on their schedule. Now, I know they have not lost inside of the state of Georgia since 2008. Now, they haven't been to Athens in a long time, but they are at Georgia. At South Carolina, it's not going to be easy. At Auburn, it's always difficult. That's another game of the year that I like. I like Auburn plus 7.5 to Alabama. And they also have LSU at home, which isn't a layup. At Mizzou, could be a tester as well. And, that thing was unraveling at the end of the year on Kalen DeBoer. And that performance against Michigan, there was a point, and that was Michigan's JV team pretty much. All their best players had opted out. And Alabama late in the second quarter had more turnovers than total yards. So we'll see on the Tide, but I think the schedule is difficult. And I bet under 9.5. Not implying it's a big bet, but under 9.5 for me.
Brian Edwards joining us here, courtesy of our progressive guest line. To stay in the SEC, speaking of Bama, they lost a game as a 24-point favorite on the road at Nashville, at Vanderbilt in Nashville, I should say. And Diego Pavia back for, I believe, his 13th season of college football, whatever it is. But he's the underdog king, man, whether it was at New Mexico State or now at Vanderbilt. And they got the bowl eligibility a year ago. If you look around, FanDuel has their win total sitting at 4.5 minus 62 to the over. Or if you want to get a little more aggressive, over 5.5 is plus 140 at a number of shops. Do you anticipate the Commodores to get back to bowl eligibility this year?
I do. I think they'll win 6. They've got 8 starters coming back from a defense that only gave up 23.6 points per game last year, and it wasn't as if they had a soft schedule by any means. They were playing a lot of elite offenses. 7 of their top 10 tacklers are back, and Diego Pavia has got one of the best tight ends in the country, and Eli Stowers. They invested a lot on the O-line in the portal and got a 4-star transfer from Liberty to play center at Jordan White. They also got Trent Hudson, a wide receiver who played with Pavia at New Mexico State and had a big season 2 years ago. He transferred to Mississippi State but was out for the year with an injury last year, and they got a track speedster from a D2 school, Trey Richardson, at the wide receiver position as well. So you look at the schedule, they've got Charleston Southern, Georgia State, and Utah State all at home. Those are 3 wins. Diego Pavia is Hugh Freeze's daddy. He's got Vandy's got Auburn at home. Pavia is 3-0 against Freeze, all as underdog. 2 is double digit underdog. He's beating by double digits 3 times, and they can also beat Missouri at home. And I wouldn't be surprised if they steal one on the road, perhaps at Virginia Tech or at South Carolina. So I've got Vandy winning 6. As for those 2 different numbers, maybe go 50/50 on the over 4.5 and the over 5.5 at plus money.
Brian Edwards, college football handicapper, Vegas insider, MajorWager.com. Edwards, we had Matt Grill of DraftKings on tonight. We're talking about sleeper teams maybe to make the college football playoff. And he mentioned Georgia Tech as maybe a team that could be like Indiana was a year ago. Are you on board with Georgia Tech? I know you've got a play on Tech in a game against Georgia.
Yeah, I've got Georgia Tech plus 12.5 to Georgia. And they've been great as an underdog the last couple of years. I don't know about them getting to the CFP, but I think you can get the Gators to get to the CFP at better than plus 400. And I think 9-3, depending on where the wins come from, you know, if you get a win against a Texas or a Georgia I think Florida could be a sleeper to get to the CFP. Again, I think if you win nine, if the Gators win nine, I think they could do that.
Yeah, the Florida number right now at DraftKings is sitting at 4-1. All right, Brian, before we get you out of here, Illinois is a team that is getting a lot of hype with Luke Altmyer returning for another season there in Champaign. Win total sitting at 7.5 for the Fighting Illini. We going over or under on the Fighting Brett Bielema's from Champaign?
I like it over. The schedule really works. They've got 16 of 22 starters coming back from a team that won 9 last year. Luke Altmyer, 22-6 TDINT ratio. The schedule really works. I mean, you've got games at home against Northwestern, Maryland, Rutgers, Western Illinois, Western Michigan. I think they win all of those. I think they probably beat USC at home. I think they're going to win at Purdue. They get 2 weeks to prepare for at Washington, so that's another winnable game. I mean, the only game that I really have that's a definite L is Ohio State at home. So, yeah, really bullish on Illinois to go over 7.5.
At Vegas, B. Edwards, majorwager.com is where you can read him. Brian, always appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, all. Y'all have a good one.
There he is, Brian Edwards.
Tim, how many bets do you have right now in the Heisman Trophy market? Do you have
I
any?
Have one.
Who?
Devin Dampier at 100-1 to Utah win the Heisman Trophy. Yes, the transfer from New Mexico. Yeah. Got 3 total bets right now in the back pocket. Need to add a couple more, Matt. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. I'll give you some more of our favorite plays. Update you on what's happening across Major League Baseball as well on this busy Tuesday night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Always good to have a little college football chatter. Going to have a new college football betting podcast out some point tomorrow, Matt.
Wow.
Got Scott Docterman on from The Athletic talking Big Ten. Might have another college football handicapper on there. Talk a little bit more about the sandwich spots that I find for the upcoming year. I do think there's an interesting angle. One of the game of the years that Brian Edwards mentioned, he likes Florida, which is no surprise. He's a bit of a Gator homer.
A bit of a homer.
Yeah. But I did like the angle. He likes Florida catching 7.5 in the game of the year line, home to Texas the week before Red River.
That is a big number. I'm surprised at that number. I don't disagree with that. Gators in the swamp catching 7.5. This is going to be tough for me to turn down too. In fact, by the time we get to kickoff, I doubt you get more than 7.5. So I would look to take that now. I think Edwards is on the right track there. Now that Texas team's got a chance to be damn good. And if the Longhorns win at Ohio State in that opener, that may change a lot of things in terms of what numbers they are laying in the future. But again, if the Longhorns go to Columbus and lose that opener, I don't think you're going to be getting 7.5 with the Gators in that game at the Swamp. Anyway, those are actually two of my favorite Heisman Trophy candidates there at quarterback, yep. Arch Manning and DJ Lagway.
Yeah, and you mentioned your bet on Arch, what, 8-1?
8-1. I just thought that was probably the best number I was going to find.
And you think if they win week one.
If he wins at Ohio State, that number is going to be down to about 3-1 plus 250.
Yeah, yeah. There's no doubt about it. There are 8 teams right now favored to make the college football playoff at DraftKings. Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Oregon, Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson. It's a two-way market, so you could bet the plus money on the opposite side if you think one of those teams or more will miss out on the college football playoff. And I didn't know this, but Matt Grill mentioned it earlier on the show. Indiana last summer, opened 100-1 to make the college football playoff.
Nobody expected it.
Nope.
I bet
over their win total.
So did I. I think we bet over Indiana's win total at 5.5.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. That was the easiest win total of my life.
5.5. And 100-1 to make the college football playoff. So great coaching job, and actually the schedule laid out perfectly for the Hoosiers last year.
Yep. They were an underdog in, I believe, 2 games, and they lost both of those games and did not cover either. Ohio State and Notre Dame. We'll see how it fares this year.
Not much shame in those two losses.
No, teams who play for the national championship. No. Not too shabby there for old Kirk Cignetti. And you mentioned it, I think, off the air, but not a ton of massive transfer quarterbacks. John Mateer getting a lot of hype. Going down to Oklahoma from Washington State, put up gaudy numbers. I mentioned going to break that I took a super long shot bet on Devin Dampier, the New Mexico transfer, as he goes to Utah. One of the bigger transfers, Indiana was able to secure him. Fernando Mendoza, the former Cal quarterback.
Excellent pickup. Cal Bears are going to be in sad shape, by the way.
Yeah.
Fernando Mendoza going to Bloomington from Berkeley. Great move for him, and it's really going to hurt the Cal Bears. That's a team to fade.
How about this, Matt? I saw this.
Cal and Stanford are going to be teams to fade, Tim.
This was, I forget which preview magazine it is, but there's preview magazines. It's either Athlon or Lindy's, I'm not sure, that does the, they do an anonymous quote from an opposing coach. And this was the coach, an opposing ACC assistant, Brad Powers, tweeted this out regarding the Cal Golden Bears. Quote, "This program is in serious trouble. Last year, they were really good on defense, and they had good offensive pieces, but they've lost their top linebackers and running backs in the portal." Yeah, Jaden Ott transferred in the spring to Oklahoma. "They're a bad fit for the league in every way, and they're trying to break in a new offensive staff with no NIL because the boosters want to put Ron Rivera in charge of the program instead of the head coach. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like what's happening here, and this is all before they have to start grinding it out in a cross country for a few more years. It's a complete mess, and Wilcox should just go DC somewhere."
He probably should, because ACC was the wrong move for Cal. Cal and Stanford have no business being in the ACC. It's ridiculous. And it's tough for those programs. It's going to be very tough to be successful and recruit at a high level when you're in the ACC and you're on the West Coast. And Cal last year, very competitive. Justin Wilcox is a very good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Cal won some big ACC games, Tim.
Should have beat Miami.
I know. Don't remind me. Okay.
At least Cal covered. Hey,
I had Cal on the money line, too.
Did you really? Yeah. Oh, geez. That was brutal. That was brutal.
But Cal, anyway.
Cal under 5.5 is plus 120.
Cal loses a running back to
Oklahoma.
Washington State lost its quarterback, John Mateer, to Oklahoma.
And their offensive coordinator.
Right. So losing a lot of talent. Those teams on the West Coast losing a lot of talent to the bigger programs. And it's going to be tough for Cal and Stanford to really compete in the in the ACC, and actually Stanford, I think, is going to have a tough time winning its opener in Hawaii in August. But we'll talk about that for another day.
You know, sticking with college, football, NFL, obviously the storyline du jour all week, Aaron Rodgers heads to Pittsburgh. Hey, he's married. Congratulations, Aaron.
Poor girl.
Mazel, mazel.
Good luck to her.
But I want to stay in the AFC North because the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm getting worried that this could be just a complete waste of Joe Burrow at some point. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar Chase, they put up the money to get him, to keep him. T. Higgins, they keep. And then this Trey Hendrickson situation is kind of playing out the way that it is. And then, Matt, we get this unusual situation of Shamar Stewart, the 17th overall pick. He is currently holding out in Cincinnati based off of the language in his roster, in his contract. So he is not participating right now in mandatory minicamp. So you've got Trey Hendrickson. He's not there because he's in a contract dispute.
And believe me, to me, that's the most disturbing thing is Hendrickson led the NFL in sacks last season with 17 and a half. He had 3.5 more sacks than Myles Garrett. You know, there's so much hype about TJ Watt and Myles Garrett. Trey Hendrickson led the NFL in sacks by 3.5 over the number two guy. And the Bengals show no urgency to want to get him signed and get him back in camp. I was looking at Bengals futures. I thought this is a year, maybe a bounce back year for the Bengals, right? With they've got such an explosive offense, trying to improve the offensive line. But Tim, that's disturbing when they're showing no urgency to get Trey Hendrickson signed. And also what you're going to talk about next, there's just something amiss with the Bengals organization.
So, yes, Trey Hendrickson is the much bigger story here. He's an all-pro. He was, what, runner-up in Defensive Player of the Year? He was incredible last year, and he's making, I think he's scheduled to make around $17 million this year, way below the elite defensive
Miles
players.
Miles Garrett just re-signed for 4 years and $160 million. That's $40 million per year if you do the math.
And Miles, yeah. And why am I for Max Crosby's going to be 35 AAV.
Right.
Well, let's hear from Shamar Stewart, the freshman, the rookie, 17th overall pick, on why he has yet to ink his deal with the Cincinnati Bengals.
I still go to meetings. I still study my playbook, you know, take down the right notes. And then whenever I get some free time, I'll go out to train at Black Sheep.
Is it fair to say at this point that you will not step foot on the practice field in practice until you're signed?
Yes.
How bad do you want to be on this?
Very bad. I mean, I've been doing this for most of my whole life, and then all of a sudden it's gone over something very simple to fix. And it's kind of disappointing. And just know you're doing the right thing. Like some people say, we all agree Trey will be right, right? But technically still 1% wrong for being under contract. So in my case, I'm 100% right. So it should be a no-brainer. And in Trey's case, I think it should be a no-brainer too. I mean, he led 17 and a half sacks for 2 years back-to-back. If I was the GM or I was the owner, take all my money. But I guess they don't operate like that. But
that's a rookie, man. Shamar Stewart. The issue is he wants a contract that our Marius Mims, their rookie from a year ago, got, where there is no default clause that can void his future guaranteed money. And they are that is the issue there. So I think it's just a bigger picture situation where you've got the Trey Hendrickson deal unraveling. He's not there right now, mandatory minicamp. And then you've got your first round pick who's not going to participate because you guys are not willing to give him the same contract that you gave your first round pick a year ago.
The Bungles. This organization's got this reputation. Fish rots from the head down. And that's what happens in Cincinnati. Now, as far as wasting Joe Burrow's career, he's got to take a little bit of the blame on that too, because the injuries have held Burrow and the Bengals back a little bit.
God, he was so good last year.
And he can be really good again. I think he can be among the best quarterbacks in the league. That's why I was very close to pulling the trigger on some Bengals futures. And then this Trey Hendrickson thing started dragging out. And I said, well, I'm just going to hit pause here on the Bengals because there's so many good teams in the SEC, in the AFC. You don't have to rush to judgment here and bet the Bengals in the middle of the summer.
You know, folks, you can always check out our betting splits over at vsin.com. They're exclusive from Circa and DraftKings. You can check them out for as little as $9.99 for your first month. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
We got a situation brewing in San Diego, Matt Humans. Dodgers and Padres, the VSIN Primetime game of the night. I'm going to update the people where we sit in the top of the third inning.
Dodgers, bases loaded, two outs, no score. And again, the Padres close minus 118 behind Dylan Cease. But he has run into some trouble here in the top of the third. Again, bases loaded, two outs, and we got Teoscar Hernandez at the plate.
All right, quick updates from across Major League Baseball here. We'll get back to our thoughts on the NBA Finals. Of course, Game 3 tomorrow night. Matt and I will not be with you tomorrow night. I believe Scott Seidenberg will have holding it down. We'll be back on Thursday night to get you ready for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, as well as plenty of chatter regarding the College World Series on Thursday night. But the New York Yankees, Matt, this was almost our primetime game of the night. It was a best bet from Adam Burke and an easy winner for Mr. Burke, as he had a first five over 2.5 runs for the Yankees. They had five runs through four innings. They won or lead 10-2. Going into the bottom of the ninth inning there in Kansas City, Aaron Judge. I saw this stat flash up on Van Pelt Center. I believe he is now fourth in Yankees history for extra base hits through the first 65 games of the season. He has 43 extra base hits for the New York Yankees as Dylan Cease gets out of the big jam.
He escaped. He got Teoscar Hernandez swinging on a 1-2 slider, 89-mile-an-hour slider, whiffed at it, and well, not even close. So Dylan Cease gets out of the jam there, still scoreless middle of the third in San Diego. Should say the Yankees had 16 hits in that game tonight. It's 10-2 bottom of the ninth, but Aaron Judge, two of those 16 hits. He's now batting .396. You got to think only an injury could really stop Aaron Judge from winning American League MVP at this point, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment right now. Quick update, though, back from our game of the night, Matt, is the primetime game of the night, Padres-Dodgers. After that strikeout, the Padres moved to a -140 favorite in tonight's game. A little plus money there on the Dodgers as we head into the bottom of the third inning. As we look around the rest of Major League Baseball here tonight, the New York Mets, they walk off the Nationals in the 10th as Jeff McNeil with an RBI single there with that ghost runner on second base. The Mets scored two runs in the bottom of the eighth to tie it up at 8. And Mackenzie Gore, strikeout total was 6.5. And he goes 6 strikeouts, so does not get over that strikeout prop. I believe he was over in 6 consecutive games. The best pitching performance, Matt, of the night happened in Cleveland as we saw a complete game shutout. How about Andrew Abbott tonight? Mm-hmm. Very impressive for stuff from him.
Yeah, you know, one of our friends here at the network, Pat Webb from Portsmouth, Ohio, big Cincinnati Reds fan. He texted me during the show tonight and said, Andrew Abbott reminds him a lot of Tom Browning. I don't know, Tim, if you're old enough to remember Tom Browning. Pitched for the Reds in the, I'd say, 80s and maybe early 90s. Tom Browning at one point threw a perfect game for the Reds. Crafty old left-hander. Looks a lot like Andrew Abbott. That's what Pat Webb said. Browning and Abbott, very similar pitchers. Abbott throws a complete game tonight. It's great to see. That's old school baseball. Actually got a guy going a complete game, throwing a shutout, and I think Abbott went 110 pitches tonight, so Terry Francona left him out there to close the deal, and you had to sweat it out because the final out of the game was a deep fly ball to left center field, caught at the wall, and that's how the Reds end up winning that game. I'm glad I did not play the Astros and Lance McCullers tonight. Astros got 9 hits but only 2 runs. Trailed the White Sox 4-2 in the ninth inning. So you got a big dog that could win in Houston. White Sox got 4 runs on 4 hits, but they might pull off the upset. And how about the Rockies? They're winning tonight, Tim. Rockies on top of the Giants 3-2 in the seventh inning. Ooh. At Coors Field.
Do we look to bet against the Rockies in game? That has been a move for a lot of us. And plus 179 right now you can get on the San Francisco Gigantes there, as that one, I believe, is in the bottom of the seventh inning. So if you think the Rockies will squander that lead, plus 185 is where you can get the Giants there. Quick elsewhere around Major League Baseball tonight, the Atlanta Braves, they got off the schneid yesterday. They are back on it. They lose 4-1 tonight as the Atlanta Braves went off as around a -$1.35 road favorite. Mm-hmm. And lost to the Milwaukee Brewers, plus 121 for the Brewers. And a pretty wild game, Toronto and St. Louis, as this one, if you bet over 8, both teams, Matt, went over 8. 10-9, the final score. The St. Louis Cardinals get the win, or excuse me, I apologize, the Toronto Blue Jays get the win. And this was another best bet from Adam Burke. He had the Blue Jays plus the money, and boy, was that a sweat. 2 runs in the ninth for the Blue Jays to go up 10-6, and then the Cardinals scored 3 in the bottom of the ninth, but the Blue Jays get the win. So good job by Adam Burke tonight on the program. 2 of his best bets come home. Blue Jays money line and Yankees first 5 over 2.5 runs.
Jump on the B train, right?
It's the A train.
It's not a heater if it's the norm.
That's true.
I would say that Adam Burke's going to be driving a new car tomorrow, the way things are going.
He's on fire there.
How about last night? The Mariners and D-backs played a wild game in Phoenix. After we got off the air last night, it was just a crazy finish to that game. Tonight, the D-backs up 2-0, top of the fourth.
Yep. So that is where we sit right now. I believe folks are excited. Jack Cagliano, I believe, just got his first hit as a Royal in the 10-2. Yankee lead right now. So headed to the bottom of the seventh, by the way, if you do want to jump in on the Giants, it is 3-2. Scoreless in San Diego between the Dodgers and the Padres. It is a, I believe, a bullpen day, right? Trevino only went an inning to start the game, so it will be Johnny Holstaff tonight for the Los Angeles
Dodgers.
Well,
sometimes it could be a very effective way to do it, too. You're giving these guys different looks throughout the game, and Padres offense can the bats can go to sleep at times, and that's happening so far tonight. I wouldn't be laying that 140 price with the Padres, that live number at DraftKings. Fernando Tatis at the plate right now, and we still have a scoreless game, bottom of the third. Tim, why don't you read this promo?
All right. You want me to read the promo? Mm-hmm. I'll do that. Hey, if you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or just like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out xcuta.com. I'll spell it for you. X-C-U-T-T-A. And it's basically the future of how we play. Think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing, over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew, and it's addictively fun. Here's the hookup. Email support@xcuta.com and mention us, VSIN, and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. So once again, the website is the letter xcuta.com. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade, Matt Humans.
Checking the Twitter feed tonight, we have one from EZ Pickens, former pro golfer, says, me betting on Justin Rose brings to mind an old saying, old age and treachery can overcome youth and skill. And Tim, I really believe in a tournament like this, where the course is going to be so difficult, that experience and wisdom could go a long way towards producing a winner. And that's why, you know, a guy like Justin Rose, I think, could be live. I just took him 180-1, the runner-up at the Masters, lost in the playoff. At 125-1, why not? Took him at 180-1. I might play him as a first-round leader as well. And that's why I think guys with a lot of experience on tough golf courses are the type of players you need to look for this week, too.
Got to get to the NBA Finals, Matt. Game 3 tomorrow night. We will give you our thoughts extensively on the other side of this break. But where we sit right now, Matt, is the Indiana Pacers catching 5 here at Circa. 5.5 at another of other shops. Worth noting, Oklahoma City this postseason 0-7 against the spread on the road. So we will see if the Oklahoma City Thunder can snap that streak. Hopefully for Matt's case, they do not.
I hope not. Let's talk about this more in depth as we wrap up the show in the next segment. Do want to mention that game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, Tim, on Thursday night, which is next night you and I are going to be in here. Florida Panthers right now at Circa -143, total of 6.5. I think the betting market's telling you right now which team is the better team in this Stanley Cup matchup. And when Edmonton was at home in game 2, didn't it flip to Florida -107?
Yeah.
And now you've got game 4 in Florida, and you got the Panthers at -143. And you and I were on the air last night. It was just a mistake-filled, penalty-riddled performance by the Oilers.
And Evander Kane was awful.
It's just kind of tough to envision Edmonton bouncing back from that and winning this series, maybe winning game 4. But again, I think not surprised that the betting market's up to about -145 on Florida.
Padres now out to a -350 favorite, Matt, as Manny Machado with an RBI single, as the Padres now lead 2-0 in the bottom of the third inning. That is our VSiN Primetime Game of the Night. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night in Indianapolis. We'll give you our thoughts and our favorite plays. We'll do that next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Putting the bow on the show, it is VSiN Primetime here on this Tuesday evening. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. The San Diego Padres, Matt, came alive there in that third inning, played it 3 runs, our primetime game of the night. Padres now up 3-0, -549 on the money line there against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Crazy one last night as the Padres fell to the Dodgers in extra innings. And across Major League Baseball right now at this very moment, the Giants, who were just +185 down to +162, they trail the Colorado Rockies 3-2. The Angels and A's scoreless, that one in the fifth. Angels a -171 favorite. And the Diamondbacks, Matt, out to a strong start against the Mariners. 3-0 lead for the D-backs. They lead in that one, and they are -870 in that contest there in Arizona. So that is where we stand from Major League Baseball. Something that we've talked about tonight, a lot of U.S. Open, and we're going to get some thoughts on the NBA Finals. Just to revisit, Matt, you want to throw out your favorite plays because you will not be back on primetime before the start of the U.S. Open. Of course, you'll have your plays documented over at vsin.com/picks.
Yeah, most of them. And I'll do a spot tomorrow on the Follow the Money show in the afternoon with more plays I'm going to have on the U.S. Open. But right now, Bryson DeChambeau, top five at +160. I do not have win bets on Scheffler or DeChambeau or any of the favorites for that matter, any of the top five favorites. I play Ludvig Åberg at 24-1. Shane Lowry, 33-1, and Lowry top five at +525. A long shot here. And Matt Groh of DraftKings just texted me and said, okay, I'm on board. I've also got Cameron Young at 115-1.
Really?
I said, we have no shot. But, you know, just in case, right? An insurance bet, small insurance bet, just in case Cameron Young gets hot and gives us a shot this week. Matt Fitzpatrick, former U.S. Open champ, 125-1 and top 20. At 3-1 odds. Fitzpatrick's made 10 U.S. Open starts, made the cut 9 times. And again, I'm looking at some European players here that I think can survive the toughest conditions possible here at Oakmont in the U.S. Open. Also played tonight, Harris English at 80-1 and Justin Rose at 180-1. One matchup play I've got so far. Again, I'm in on Shane Lowry this week. Lowry +112. Over Colin Morikawa. I'm going to have some more on tomorrow's show, but that's it for right now. I'll add a few for the Follow the Money on Wednesday. But, Tim, it's one of those situations where you feel like you don't want to take a bunch of shots on the futures board because Scottie Scheffler is probably going to win. At the same time, how do you bet Scheffler? Because he's 3-1 odds, and I don't want to take 3-1. But, you know, we can play this, adjusted odds. And live odds for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, throughout the weekend. So you don't have to have all your bets in before the tournament starts on Thursday morning.
So you talked to Indy Jeff Seeley. He's going to be on the show Friday night with you and Will Hill. And he was on Follow the Money, as he is each and every week. And he is all in on Harris English. He's got him to win. Top 5, top 10, top 20, top 30, top 40, all at different unit prices. Check it out over at our picks page. And I bring that up because you add him to your card. Matt Grill from DraftKings had Harris English. Jeff Sherman from the Westgate, Harris English, as well as Harris English first-round leader. Yes. And then Steve Sands finished out the trifecta tonight because he also had Harris English. What is it about Harris English that everybody loves this week at Oakmont?
Well, in 14 starts this year, he's going to win at the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego, 6 top 25s. He was runner-up at the PGA, 12th at the Masters. Pretty good current form. He's made 9 U.S. Open starts. He's made 9 cuts. Like I said, he's got a third place in the U.S. Open in 2021. That's a guy. Tim, no, he's not going to profile as the favorite, but you're talking 80-1 odds. That's a pretty good profile on a player that's 80-1. And at one point was, you know, 100-1.
I think he still is at DraftKings. Yeah. If you have access, we obviously here in Nevada do not. But if you have access to DraftKings, Harris English sitting there at 100-1, 12-1 to finish top 5, 5-1 to finish top 10.
And I was talking about Matt Fitzpatrick. He's won a U.S. Open. I said 9 of 10 cuts made. He won the U.S. Open in 2022. And Shane Lowry, this is important because I mentioned it. Steve Sands said, you stole my stat. Steve Sands was going to say the same thing. But Shane Lowry was the 54-hole leader at the 2016 U.S. Open at Oakmont. He led after 54 holes by 4 strokes, ended up finishing runner-up. But That's a big reason a bunch of us have Shane Lowry on the card this week as well.
All right. If you want to check out all the plays, vsin.com/picks. Also, vsin.com, you've got Wes Reynolds. His write-up is up extensively over at the website. Adam Burke's got a website, and I got an article on the website. And the Long Shots podcast, I will be finishing that up on my drive home tonight. It was Kelly Bidlin, as along with Wes Reynolds this week. No Matt Brown on the podcast, so make sure you check that out. Matt, tomorrow night, Game 3, NBA Finals right now. If you like the dog in Indiana, you can get a 5.5. If you like the favorite, you can get 5 out there. You have a best bet already locked in on this game tomorrow night in Indianapolis. What do you have in the account?
Pacers plus 5.5. I think this series is going 6 games, just like the 2000 NBA Finals when the Pacers took the Lakers to 6, obviously lost 4-2. But in that Game 3, when the Pacers were down in the series, Reggie Miller had 33 points in Game 3. Pacers going to need somebody to step up like that on a Wednesday night. Tim, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Tyrese Halliburton? Apparently, Halliburton says the leg issue is no issue, that he's going to be fine. You're going to be looking at a prop on Halliburton. I would expect him to show up and play with a lot more of an edge, more urgency than he did Sunday night in Game 2. And three-point shooting is going to be key for the Pacers. They hit 15 or more, shoot 40% or better. They're going to have a great shot to win and at least cover that 5.5. I think this number is a little bit inflated tomorrow night.
So I did bet Tyrese Halliburton over 25.5 points and assists. That is minus 120 at DraftKings. I think a little juiced higher at FanDuel. Now, it is worth noting Jeff Sherman came on the show earlier today and said at the Westgate Superbook, Matt, they are seeing a little bit of sharp action to the under on Halliburton points. He has gone under both games so far in these NBA Finals. He had 14 points in Game 1, 17 points in Game 2. I just expect he hears it, and he is a budding superstar in the league. He's been as clutch as anyone this postseason, Matt. Back at home, he's been controlled in this series, 14-6, 17-6. I think you get a really strong effort from Tyrese Halliburton. Am I concerned about the ankle? A little bit. You know, you saw that limp walking off the out of the press game or the press conferences there on Sunday night. So there is a little concern there, Matt. But ultimately, I think you get a strong performance. I don't know who's going to ultimately win this game. I really don't. And I said it earlier in the show, and I truly believe it. If the Thunder win tomorrow night, Matt, I think they win in 5 games. If they lose, game on, man. I still think the Thunder will win the series, but I think tomorrow is critical for the Pacers. I think if the Pacers lose tomorrow night, series is a wrap.
Well, I still think it's going to go 6. If the Pacers lose tomorrow night, I think they got a great shot to win game 4 and lose the series. Like I said, I bet before the series, OKC in 6 at plus 450, and a smaller bet on OKC in 7 at 5-1 odds. And I still think the Pacers got a great shot to drag this series out a little bit. But you're right. I'll say this. I mentioned it earlier. If the Pacers win Game 3 on Wednesday night, they're very live to win this entire series, win the NBA championship. Because I think that's when doubt would creep into the mind of the Thunder. And Pacers definitely taking back home court advantage if they can win Game 3. But what I really expect him is a split in Indianapolis, and OKC is probably going to win in 6.
All-day coverage of Game 4, or Game 3, I should say, of the NBA Finals here on VSiN. And make sure to check out all of our write-ups over at VSiN.com. So, Matt, for tomorrow, he will be taking the points. He already has with the Pacers, plus 5.5. I took a prop angle, Tyrese Halliburton over 25.5 points. And I do have a bet on the Thunder, Matt, -2.5 games. I don't feel great about it. Obviously, it is now an underdog. The favorite would be over 5.5 games. And I would say for you, the two bets that you made prior to the series, Oklahoma in 6, Oklahoma in 7, those are feeling a little bit better than where I sit with OKC -2.5.
Well, we'll see why home court advantage means for the Pacers on Wednesday night, right? Do you think the role players are going to step up, play better? Pacers probably shoot better from 3 than they did in Game 2 in OKC. And I just think in general, Pacers are going to play with a lot more energy than they did Sunday night. Tim, didn't it feel like the Pacers were sleepwalking through the first half in Game 2?
Yeah, and look, They've been down double digits for, what is that, 95 minutes, essentially, these NBA finals. But it should be a great atmosphere tomorrow night. Matt is taking the points. Halliburton over 25.5 points and assists for me. Hey, busy show tonight. Thanks to everyone who joined us. Adam Burke, Jeff Sherman, Matt Grill, Steve Sands, and Brian Edwards. Thanks to our producer, Justin, everyone behind the scenes for putting this show together. Little note. New college football betting podcast should be out some point tomorrow, talking some Big Ten. So make sure you get that wherever you get your podcasts. For Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Enjoy the games tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.